before we started the assembly, I was back there talking, relating some stories about growing up to some of the people back there. And one person back there said, you seem to be so excited back there. You're like, well, I'll save some of the energy for the message. But you know, yeah, I'm pretty happy and excited today because of two things. Number one, I don't have to work tonight. That's thing number one. And thing number two, my wife and I survived another weekend of having our daughter come home and visit. So we're doing okay. We may be broke now. Our nerves may be on the end, but we survived. Now we have strength for tomorrow. Open the Bible, please, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, there at 25 and going downward, a certain lawyer of the law, he puts Jesus to the test. He asks Jesus the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus turns around and say to him, in verse 26, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? Then he goes on and say to Jesus, by answering and says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And he goes on to the very end part and says, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus tells him, that's right, you do that. But that's not the end of it. He has another question to ask Jesus. Verse 29. He asks Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And who is my neighbor? They're hoping to pinpoint Jesus or to trick Jesus or to lure him into a trap. Now, Jesus, being one of the greatest teachers I've ever lived, being a master at teaching, instead of giving him a quick answer, Jesus started verse number 30 of Luke chapter 10, and let's read there. Luke chapter 10, start at verse number 30. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. This is a very familiar story. You hear them on television, that they use the phrase, a good Samaritan. Most religious people know of this story. And when you look at it, the one that stands out is the Samaritan, the good deed that he did. But I'm going to look at something else just a little bit closer at this story that Jesus tells, this event that he relates to the Jewish lawyer. I see something else there. Honestly, what I refer to as three philosophies, or three ways of thinking. Three ways of thinking, three philosophies that's embedded there in this event. First of all, Jesus said that at verse number 30, there are a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, which was roughly between 15 and 18 miles. Jerusalem set about 3,200 feet above Jericho. And so the man traveling downward to Jericho. Historians would say that path, that trail down to Jericho was considered a very dangerous trail. It was considered a place where many robbers and killers would hide out in the caves and the ravines over there and wait and lurk upon those who were traveling downward. Jesus says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem. He doesn't give the man name, doesn't say much about the man. Probably a Jew, yes, speculating. But Jesus says a certain man goes down to Jericho from Jerusalem. What happens? Well, see, this man, he is attacked. He's beaten. He's robbed. Stripped of his clothing and probably took all of his possessions. It was worth taking. And he left him there to die. That's where we find our first philosophy. The first way of thinking we find here is that thinking that take what I want. That philosophy, that way of thinking, take what I want. If there's something I want, something I need, I'm just going to take it. Those who attacked this person, they had made up in their mind, where, see, actions start in the mind. The mind motivates actions, and their thinking had to have been, I'm going to take what I want. And they waited. And when this man came down, they attacked him, they beat him, and they took what they wanted. What a way to think. What a horrible philosophy to live by. But you know and I know, as you pick up the paper every day, this is happening. Right in the city of Columbus, in the state of Ohio, where you read of someone mugging someone, robbing or holding up, or someone breaking into someone else's house, taking what they want. That's their way of thinking. Their philosophy is, I want it, I'm going to take it. And what society has done to try to lessen the blow of the crime and the evenness of it by saying, well, a home invasion. I don't like that. A home invasion. It's nothing but thieves and robbers breaking in and stealing and taking what they want. Living by that philosophy. And that's the philosophy we see here. There's a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he's been mugged, he's been robbed, and left for dead because there are people who fail and live by the philosophy, I'm going to take what I want. The old way of thinking still exists today. There are jails, there are prisons. There are correction institutions that are flooded and loaded with people who live by that philosophy. I'm going to take what I want. What's wrong with that way of living? Well, that's just what the Bible has to say with that type of thinking. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus will say this in verse number 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Treat people the way you would want to be treated. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you think that these muggers, these robbers, would have wanted to be beaten and stripped and left for dead? I doubt it. But yet, they're thinking towards that man, because I'm going to take what we want at any cost. That goes against the scriptures. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now only that, in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 15, going all the way back to the Old Testament, God makes it very clear that thou shall not steal. Those who beat and robbed and took, stole from this man, violating God's laws. And as I've said, I remember Robin making this point some weeks ago about your actions usually start up here. And a good verse to use to help that is Psalms 19, verse number 14, where the psalmist is concerned, where he says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord. He was concerned about the things that he would say and the things that he would think about, because the thing usually we think about, we think enough, it motivates our actions. I doubt that those who robbed this man, I doubt that they decide on the spur of the moment that we robbed someone. Most likely they've been living by that philosophy, thinking about it. What I want, take what I want, one way or the other. What else is wrong with this type of philosophy, other than not being in step with the scriptures? Well, this type of thinking, not only is it wrong to be a part of that, this type of thinking goes against the legal system. For the legal system says it's a crime, a violation of the law, to steal, to beat up someone, to rob them, to take from them what you want. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 3 teaches us that we should be submissive to the legal system, to the governing bodies. Not only there, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 14 teaches the same thing. But see, if I live like that, with that type of thinking, that type of philosophy, that I'm going to take whatever I want. Number one, I'm going to be inconsistent with what the scriptures teaches about doing unto others as I would have them do unto me. And secondly, I'm going to be violating the scripture and also breaking the law. So evidently, those who attacked this traveler wasn't concerned about the law, wasn't concerned about doing unto others as you have them do unto you. Rather, they were concerned about taking what they wanted. And that's philosophy number one. Living a life just taking whatever you want instead of working for it, maybe even asking for it, just taking it. If you remember in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 11 through 16, as a writer writes to the young son, he tells him from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 11 through 16, what I consider early gang activity. Because he tell him not to consent, now go along with those evil people, the evil workers. And you go on, after you read the rest of it, you'll see where they say, hey, come on, join in with us. will have one purse, or rather one pot, will split down the middle. And you go on and read the rest of it there, you will see where it talks about secretly waiting for someone to come by and surprising them and taking what they want, even at the cost of blood. That's not the type of philosophy we ought to live by. That's not the type of philosophy anyone should live by. But we find that here. We find that type of thinking here in Luke chapter 10. And this event that Jesus tells that this certain man traveling, someone beat him, robbed him, and stripped him of his clothing and left him for dead. They had the thinking that take whatever we want. Now, secondly, I said that there was three ways of thinking here. Well, the second thought comes here is, as Jesus continued to tell the story, he says, there in verse number 31, he says, from 31 down to 32, as a man lies there dying, all beat up, there comes along a priest. Not only did a priest come along, there came along a Levite. Well, see, these two both would have been somewhat spiritual leaders. These two would have been familiar with the laws of God. But they come along and they see a man lying down. He's been beaten, most likely bleeding, left to die. Here these spiritual leaders come who are supposed to be so close with God, have an understanding of God's law, an understanding of caring for people. They come along and they see him. Scriptures say they pass by on the other side. That they pass by on the other side. Well, what's the thinking here? What's the philosophy that we see here from the Levite and from the priest? The philosophy that we see here is that's not my problem. Not my problem. Doesn't affect me. I have other things to do. That's not my problem. At work, a lot of times you're asked to cross over and do other jobs. And one of the things you hear people say, well, that's not my job. That's not my job. I'm not going to do that. Because really, that's not my problem. Why should I go out and help that guy? Because people are so concerned about themselves and themselves only. Priests and the Levite, they pass by. They see a man lying there. And they pass by on the other side. That's not my problem. I have things to do. I have places to go to. You would have thought that if anyone would have stopped and helped this poor helpless man, it would have been your priest or your Levite, your spiritual leader, those who understood and knew the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 1 through 4, it teaches about helping. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 1 through 4, it says that if a man's donkey or his ox have gone astray or fallen down, you pass by, you would stop and help him. Make sure it gets back to the owner. Here's a human being lying down there, sick, beat, hurt, and dying, and he passed by on the other side. Why? Because that's not my problem. In Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse number 4. Paul would say to the church at Philippi, each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. That's where we ought to be. That's where all people should be, that not just concerned about our own interests, but the interests of others. As brothers and sisters here in the Lord's body, we ought to be concerned about each other and the interests of each other. If one brother here of another brother being in the hospital sick, wouldn't it be horrible for this brother to say, well, hey, so what? That's not my problem. I have things to do. Or one brother knows of another brother struggling financially or whatever the case may be, and he says, hey, that's his problem. It's not my problem. I have things to do. And just walk on by, you may say, on the other side, as the Levite and the priest did. Three philosophies. Second philosophy here is that's not my problem. And so the Levite and the priest kept on going. Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, at verse number 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We ought to be concerned, and we have an opportunity to do good to all people, especially those of the household of faith. Not to shut our eyes and pass on by and say, hey, that's not my problem. Jesus tells this story of a Levite and a priest who sees a man in need, sees a man dying, but they walk on by. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 through 18, John says, if you know that your brother's in need of something and you don't give it to him to help him out, John goes on and basically say that the real true test of love is if you help that person up. Not to just walk on by and say, that's not my problem. Three philosophies. First philosophy is that I'm going to take what I want. Secondly, see this of the priest and Levite. Well, that's not my problem. I'm going to keep on going. Thirdly and last, going back to Luke chapter 10. Verse number 33. Jesus goes on to say that a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Now look here. Here's a Samaritan. He comes along. He sees this man lying down there, all beaten up, hurt, dying. Does he pass around on the other side? No, the Bible says that He had compassion on him. And that compassion that he had upon him motivated him to do some things. He just didn't say, oh, it's so sad that what happened here, this man lying there, he's been beaten up. I feel so much sadness for this man, but I gotta go. Hopefully someone else will come by and stop. He had compassion upon that man, motivated him to do some things. So he stopped. He took oil and wine, cleaned his wounds up, bandaged him up, took him to the nearest inn. Seemed as though he stayed there all night and watched over him. To the next day, he took his own money and gave it to the innkeeper and told the innkeeper to watch over him. When he passed back through, if there's anything else he owed, he would give it to the innkeeper for taking care of him. Now, if this is a Jew that he's taken care of, how amazing. Because if you remember in John chapter 4, verse number 9, when Jesus stopped and talked with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, she says, why are you talking to me? John chapter 4, verse number 9. That Jews and Samaritans have no doing with each other. Real bad history, bad blood, go on back. If that be the case, then Jesus is bringing home a real strong point here for this Jewish lawyer as he tells the story. Your Jewish Levite, he passed on by. Your Jewish priest, he passed on by. Here's a Samaritan, he stops to take care. See what he could do to help this man. When you look through the Bible, you see that Jesus was a very compassionate person. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 40, speaks of Jesus being compassionate. Mark chapter 6, verse number 34, speaks of Jesus being compassionate. When you look at Mark chapter 8, verse 1 through 4, Jesus being compassionate. Which one of which group of these people were more Christ-like in this situation? So a Samaritan, he stops to take care of the man. Well, what is his philosophy then? Well, this is the third philosophy here is that of compassion. That of compassion. He had compassion upon someone who was hurting, someone who was dying, someone who was having struggles and trouble. He stopped and helped the person. Three philosophies, three ways of thinking. We meet the first way in the beginning of the story that Jesus tells. Those thieves who took what they wanted, the wrong way to think. Then you come to the Levite and the priest, who one would think would have a happy ending. Surely didn't, because their way of thinking, that's just not my problem. I'm going to move on. Thirdly, the Samaritan. He stopped. Took the time. Spent the money. To care for that person.
His way of thinking was that of compassion. Compassion. So when the story comes to an end, at verse number 37, Jesus says, and he said, he who showed mercy upon him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. He didn't even say the Samaritan. He said, he who showed mercy upon him. As we live our lives this evening, not only this evening, but the rest of our lives, may we not live our lives with the thinking that whatever we want, we just go ahead and take it. May we not live our lives with the thinking that whatever problem going on in other people's lives, I might can help them, but hey, that's not my problem. I'm just going to mind my own business, take care of myself. Me. I'm going to keep on going. May we not be that way. But may we be like the Samaritan, one that shows compassion, mercy, stop and help and be concerned about others, doing the things that are right, that we understand who's our neighbor. A few days ago, I got into a Bible discussion with a guy at work about the History Channel. Well, we started out talking about college, and which college my daughter's going to, and next thing you know, we wind up talking about the History Channel. Oh, he said that he would rather believe the History Channel because the History Channel have proven and shown some inconsistency of the Bible, and he's going to trust in the History Channel. He don't care what the Bible says. And my final words to him, you know, you're wrong, and you're going to be judged by God's words. And he really didn't care about that. And as John 12:48 says, that's the very standard that will judge him. That's the very standard that will judge you and I. I do not expect to be judged by the History Channel. Nor do I put my trust in the History Channel. But I expect and you expect to be judged by God's word. That being the case, how are you doing this evening? Spiritually. If you're doing well, that's just great. Continue. If things aren't going well because of sin being in your life, this is the evening. This is the time to make correction by repenting, turning away from that sin, and doing what's right. Maybe you just need the prayers of the congregation just to be a little stronger and to help you. And going forward, doing things that are right. May each and every one of us always remember that we can trust and rely on each other. That we don't hold that philosophy that's not my problem. That we are concerned about each other. And may we display that. Whatever you need to do, please make the right decision. As we sing the Invitation to Song.